KSL Special Coverage, Supreme Court Appeal, live from the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., begins now.
And a very good morning to you, KSL News Time, 6 o'clock. Today is Tuesday, April 28th. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Brian Martin.
And I'm Amanda Dixon, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. on a beautiful morning here in front of the Supreme Court. Right now in downtown Salt Lake City, it is 50 degrees.
Unusually heavy traffic and lane restrictions on 2100 South. I'm Heather Kelly.
KSL's top story, it is a historic day, not just here in Washington, but for the country as a whole, as the U.S. Supreme Court hears oral arguments on same-sex marriage.
KSL News Radio's Andrew Adams is getting a look at the scene outside the court this morning. He begins our live team coverage, Supreme Court Appeal, on the scene. Andrew?
Yeah, man, I've been walking along this line, and at one point it stretched around the corner. People have moved a little bit closer to the courthouse now, but no question about it. You have hundreds of people out here, from street preachers to same-sex couples to lawyers. A lot of people interested in a historic day here in Washington, D.C. Everybody here recognizes the recent momentum across the country in favor of same-sex marriage, but there are very polarized views here as to why.
As more individuals have bravely come out of the closet, I think that people realize that, you know, these are people. These are people I've known my whole life.
They remember Sodom and Gomorrah. They were homosexuals, and he destroyed the city with fire, so we're going in the direction of the last days.
Despite those varying viewpoints, people here relatively peaceful. The biggest police action I've seen is basically officers walking along trying to keep the sidewalk clear. Live on the scene, Andrew Adams, KSL News Radio.
With live team coverage, I'm Peter Seymour. He filed an amicus brief 2 years ago challenging federal and California bans on same-sex marriage. Utah attorney Paul Burke hopes to sit in on the Supreme Court today for the Sixth Circuit Appellate Court's cases.
What I think the Supreme Court will find fault with is the Sixth Circuit failed to apply judicial review to protect the constitutional rights of gay and lesbian Americans from unequal treatment.
Burke says each of the federal government's three branches has certain tasks to ensure the rights of all Americans. Burke hopes to sit in the Supreme Court. Otherwise, he'll try for the slightly larger lawyer's lounge. A Utah law professor knows all about arguing before the Supreme Court. Our live team coverage continues with KSL News Radio's Mary Richards. Mary.
Peter, you get maybe 30 seconds to start talking, and then the questions just start coming. Former clerk, judge, and U law professor Paul Cassell says it can be intimidating for some, but when you are up there arguing, it gives you confidence in the judicial system.
You can tell from the questions that they've read the briefs, they've thought about the issues a lot, and now they're looking for the difficult resolution of the questions that are in front of them.
Cassell says attorneys practice for hours to be ready for any question.
Well, you might be able to get a sense of where individual justices are falling on the same-sex marriage issue by the questions they ask. Former 10th U.S. Circuit Court Clerk Michelle Mumford says Justice Anthony Kennedy is one to watch, as he's often the swing vote on the court. That was the case with the Windsor decision striking down the Defense of Marriage Act. Mumford also says, watch Chief Justice John Roberts.
He voted in Windsor with the dissent, not with Justice Kennedy, but he didn't join the opinions, right? He kept kind of a clean slate.
And we will play the arguments back in their entirety later today, right here on KSL News Radio.
A special edition of Utah's Morning News, Supreme Court Appeal, live from Washington, D.C. Here's Brian Martin and Amanda Dixon.
Hundreds of people are lined up here in Washington today as the Supreme Court prepares to hear arguments in what could become a landmark case on same-sex marriage.
Pastor Rick from California has been in line for several days now. He is in favor of traditional marriage. He tells KSL he's surprised there aren't more members of the cloth in line with him.
I haven't really looked. I've seen some signs. No one in line that I'm aware of that is, you know, against gay marriage, but I've seen signs in. Usually people come to pray. I'm surprised there's so little. I mean, where are all the big-time preachers that are supposed to be speaking up for morality? They're absent.
Yeah, we're told a number of pastors actually rallied outside the court on Saturday so they could be with their congregations on Sunday.
Natalie Gallagher is a lesbian who was also standing in line. She told KSL News Radio, KSL News Radio's Kevin LaRue, she doesn't necessarily see what is happening now as on par with the civil rights movement.
I think one thing that's interesting and different about it is that LGBT communities are possibly the only non-inherited communities maybe the only non-inherited communities, and so a way that it's different from the civil rights movement is that there's much less, in my opinion, family solidarity around this kind of stuff in a lot of cases. And that's one of the reasons, for instance, that the proportion of teens that are homeless is massively disproportionately LGBT. Because even as national favor for the issue is rising, if kids come out, their families are less likely to be in favor of it locally. And so I think that makes it very different from a civil rights, from that civil rights movement. I do think it's a civil rights issue.
Breaking news on KSL News Radio. Dave Colley joins us live in the KSL 24-hour news center. Dave?
Maria, very tense situation happening right now in South Salt Lake. This is from a 7-Eleven in the area of 33rd South and about 3rd West. What we understand from police is that there was a 3-year-old girl in a black 2010 Hyundai Santa Fe, and that car has been stolen. It has the Utah license plate D186HB. It was last seen going eastbound on 33rd South. Right now, police are looking for a woman named Rosalie Mary Key, as well as that vehicle. They say she's about 25, has short blonde hair, and again, this young child, 3-year-old, was in that vehicle, so all eyes are supposed to be right now looking for this 2010 black Hyundai Santa Fe in South Salt Lake. Live, Dave Colley, KSL News Radio.
She's a 3-year-old Hispanic female. She was last seen wearing a pink flower jacket.
KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is live on the scene near 33rd South and 300 West. Paul?
Well, Maria, right now I can see some family members, concerned family members of that little girl, crying, trying to console each other. We are hearing from police that around 4 o'clock this afternoon that the father of the little girl, Bella Martinez, approached this 7-Eleven on 3300 South near 300 West and was approached by the suspect, Rosalie Key, and she asked him for a cigarette. He gave her one. Then he reportedly went inside. After that, police say that Rosalie Key then got into the car and stole it, leaving eastbound on 3300 South, heading with little Bella Martinez inside.
And breaking news on KSL News Radio. Looks like there is a happy ending to this Amber Alert. Gary Keller with South Salt Lake Police talking to the media right now.
Just got a call. The vehicle is there and the child. So, we're confirming everything, but from what we have at this time, she has been found.
Okay. Parents, can you wait 4 minutes? We're going to have you again.
Parents are on their way over there, so that's all we have at this time as an update, but I'll get more as it evolves.
Well, Chief, good news for everyone that she was found safe and sound. Tell us what the reunion was like with the family.
Very emotional. That was a long 2 hours for her parents. I'm sure every minute seemed like hours. I actually drove them from 7-Eleven to this location, and a very emotional ride for them and an amazing reunion when they were reunited with their daughter.
Chief, clarify for us, was the car left running?
We, at 7-Eleven, we're trying to determine that right now. Investigators are following up on that. But the key was operable, the vehicle was operable at the time at 7-Eleven. The suspect took the vehicle.
Chief, thanks so much for your time. We're getting a lot of noise in the background there. That's South Salt Lake Police Chief Jack Carruth.
New details this morning on just how important cell phones were to the rescue of a little girl taken in a stolen car.
We're now hearing from the woman who made that rescue possible after getting the Amber Alert on her phone. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards begins our live team coverage in the KSL 24-Hour News Center. Mary?
Amanda, Leslie Feet owns Minnie's Cupcakes on Highland Drive when she looked outside.
And so I thought, I wonder if that's the car. I walked around to the other side and noticed the license plate was the same, so then I got very scared.
There was a little girl crying inside that car. It was 3-year-old Bella inside that running car when it was stolen on 33rd South. Feet says her first thought was to get the girl into her store where it was safe. And just like that, the Amber Alert ended. Now, Feet found out about the Amber Alert when her cell phone went off. Our live team coverage continues with KSL's Dave Colley.
That sound, or one like it, rang out on cell phones at about 5:15 yesterday afternoon. It marked the first time Utah has used the technology.
This was the first one that has been sent over the wireless emergency alert system.
That system is a collaboration between cell phone carriers, the FCC, and FEMA. Joe Doherty with the Utah Division of Emergency Management says here phones sounded almost in unison.
People are going to get the alerts at different times, but generally within the space of a few minutes.
Doherty says the alerts don't cost you anything. They're pushed out over cell phone towers to a specific geographic area selected by the agency. that requests the alert.
Just as I walked up to these homeless men waking up on 5th West 2nd South,
they think I'm drug dealing or doing something bad, I think.
Another woman asked me, black or white, heroin or crack, but these men insisted on sleeping in that element and in the rain.
There's a lot of scabies going on in there. It's dirty. They don't clean the showers.
They wrote me up and did what's called an exit, not to return, for 60 days.
But then Michael lit up his crack pipe right in front of me, grounds for expulsion at the road home.
But a calculating drug dealer doesn't want to come inside the shelter. All they have to do is wait outside and wait for an addict to come to them.
The road home's executive director, Matt Minkovich, and the homeless men I met all say security is now very tight. As for claims of the shelter's filth,
daily, we close the shelter from 8 to 10 a.m., and we do a thorough cleaning and disinfecting of every bed.
And the showers, toilets, countertops, and more. The mattresses I saw were vinyl and bedbug resistant, but some homeless still resist shelter.
For one to claim that services are in short supply, I think that's a valid claim. Of course, people in the throes of addiction might also make excuses.
When police break up their encampments, where do the homeless go?
Out of sight, out of mind.
Detective Greg Wilking.
If you're not on private property and you're not causing a problem, not where the public can view you, you're probably going to be all right.
Then county health must step in to clean up the mess.
Solid waste, human waste.
Environmental health manager Dale Keller, like police, is sad to shoo away the homeless.
Treating these people with dignity and the respect that they need, but you are obviously, you know, have to address the public health issue as well.
Eric Hendricks, homeless but who just picked up two jobs, rebukes those who don't appreciate the road home as he does.
If you don't put the work in and just stop being lazy, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to stay sleeping on that piece of sidewalk for most of your life.
Peter Seymour, KSL News Radio.
Homeless.
Thank you so much.
In Salt Lake City. Today until 12 o'clock, KSL looks at the ways downtown is being affected, the drugs and dangers, and what can be done to finally make a change. Live from Pioneer Park, here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We are going to talk with the Division Director of Homeless Services for the Volunteers of America, and Rob Westman is joining us. First of all, tell us what your role is in this community and with the homeless.
Basically, what we do is we seek out folks who aren't receiving services and try and get them connected. And, you know, because as we see, we've got folks out here who don't seem to be connected with much, and that's right. What we want to do is get them connected.
Last night, and again, I spent a lot of time in this area, as I came out of a movie screening last night at the Gateway Theaters and I walked along, there is a noticeable increase, dramatic, and also something that I have not really seen, at least to this degree before. It almost seems like little micro communities back in the Great Depression, they would have called them Hoovervilles.
Okay.
That are just popping up along the side of the road.
Yep.
Whether it's on the freeway on ramps, whether it's over on 4th or over on 5th and 6th, or whether it's around Pioneer Park or down on 5th West. I've never quite seen anything like it. What's happening?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, last week we came out and we surveyed a bunch of the folks who were out on the 5th West area. And what we found is that most of them had been housed in the last couple of months and for whatever reason were unfortunately lost their housing situation and are trying to figure out how to get back on their feet. And that's what we were trying to help them with.
Rob, you have brought a guest with you. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about this young man.
Yeah, so this is Anthony. And Anthony received services at our youth drop-in center, our homeless youth resource center. And Anthony was kind enough to come down and kind of share some of his story with us.
Anthony, how did you end up here?
Started out just being homeless.
How'd that happen?
I fell into addiction, and I have nobody to blame but myself. But it took the light out in my brain, and I just slowly started to decline till I realized I was homeless and I needed help, and then I didn't know who to go to for help because I don't have anybody. And these guys here at VOA are kind enough to take me in and to, you know, help me get back on my feet with whatever it takes.
When it really dawned on you that you were homeless, what went through your mind?
Almost like shocking, like reality just hit me in the face, and super discouraging, and just shocked. I couldn't believe it. I would never have guessed that I would end up homeless.
How'd you survive?
Well, it was a struggle for about a week or so, and I got word of these guys helping.
Who told you? Youth.
A gentleman that was actually involved in their program currently. He let me know, and he says, go down there. And I did right that day, and I went down there and told them my story, and they're like, well, let's fill out some paperwork, and we can get you back on your feet if you do, you know, follow our program and do what it takes, then there's no doubt that, you know, I wouldn't be homeless anymore.
So. Anthony, what's your story today? What condition are you in today?
It's the beginning for me, man. It's the beginning to take the, you know, first couple of steps to just bettering myself and be that person I used to be before I fell into addiction, before I, you know, ended up homeless.
I have to interrupt with some breaking news. We have just confirmed massive flooding in the Hilldale, Utah area has resulted in several fatalities. We'll keep you updated here on KSL News Radio as we learn more.
This time of year is actually very dangerous in the desert.
Yeah, well,
for this reason, it's you get an increase in rains.
Yeah,
especially the rains that they can kind of come out of nowhere, and the way the desert is it doesn't even need to rain on top of you to produce the kind of flash flood that could be fatal to you. It could rain miles away.
Yeah, it could have been a flood that happened somewhere, or a rainstorm that happened somewhere else, and then it'll come and travel to you.
We've established a command center up at Hilldale City Hall so that they can be focused on their work, and the volunteers can check in, and they've sectioned off the creek areas, and they've got some search dogs that are coming in. I think there's several more coming even today to take areas and see if we can recover and see if we can rescue these people. And just never experienced this before. And talking to the county emergency management people and all the flooding they've had, they haven't had this kind of fatalities. So this is the big one for the county. And so we sure do appreciate the support.
The deaths after this flash flood are just the latest in a string of tragedies for Hilldale families. KSL News Radio's Nkoyo Iamba continues our team coverage.
In late July, 26-year-old Hiram Cook drowned in Sand Hollow Reservoir.
Hiram Cook, I used to work with him on Saturday Project, donation work for the community.
A few weeks later, 5-year-old Gerald Williams died after wandering from camp near the Grand Canyon.
Little Williams, boy, I didn't know him, but I knew his dad.
And in late August, 70-year-old Walter Steed drove his semi-truck off a cliff, plunging 200 feet to his death.
Walter Steed was a judge. He was just a super cool guy.
Chris Weiler has lived in the community for 21 years.
Life. We just deal with these experiences as they come.
Nkoyo Iamba, KSL News Radio.
Breaking news at Zion's National Park, where flooding has claimed at least 3 lives today. KSL News Radio's Brianna Bodley has the latest live. Brianna?
Scott, officials say the 3 bodies were discovered at the east side of Keyhole Canyon today, a slot canyon that's popular with park visitors. 4 of their companions are still missing. Zion National Park spokesperson Ali Baltras telling us the rangers were told about the group yesterday just before the flooding began. They started a search last night and found those bodies today. Now, once again, 4 people are still missing. We'll keep you updated here on KSL News Radio. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service continues to issue flood warnings for Garfield, Kane, and Washington County.
The water rose so fast. The debris was so much. You can see how high it is on the power lines and the poles. They didn't have time to even hardly get back into their vehicles. They turned when they realized that water's coming up, and it's coming from this way. It's coming up so fast. So when they got in, by the time they got in their vehicles and started to get into trying to back up, I couldn't tell from my pictures and what I was watching if they were trying to back up or if they were actually floating by then. But they tried to turn into my yard or were being pushed into my yard. Just spun around and just went right on down the river.
It's a sound Jack Noble heard often during the war, that of an engine of what's known as an L-5 roaring to life. Noble flew the small light planes over Europe.
Went to England first, then to Paris, France, and then all the way
Germany until the war ended.
He had various jobs.
I flew for the headquarters where the colonels and generals and everything wanted to go different places. Well, they used a small plane to get into the places where the other planes couldn't get to.
One time he was shot at by an American plane.
I got caught up with a P-51 coming down and went all over it and liked it. Scared me to death, but it turned out it was a German that had captured one of our 51s.
His only defense, an inverted dive to lower ground to disappear, as he put it, among the trees.
I was careful after that to make sure who's flying the airplane.
Another time, he had to make an emergency landing during a fierce wind.
It was sending me right out to the sea, Mediterranean Ocean, and I didn't want to go there.
He chose to put down in a vineyard.
I made a short landing, as short as you can get, I guess. When I landed, of course, I hit into the wire all the deal, and it stuck. And, of course, my airplane was almost demolished.
Like many others, Noble feels fortunate.
Well, I feel that I lucked out. I feel lucky to have made it through.
Now, 70 years later, he got to reconnect with his plane, thanks to the Utah Living Military History Group and pilot Greg Brubaker.
So this is actually the first experience I've been able to connect an actual pilot with the plane. So I'm thrilled to death.
Noble's wife, by the way, served as a WAC during the war, teaching others the intricacies of the radio system in the B-29 bomber. Mark Duke, KSL News Radio.
We have breaking news on KSL News Radio. The opinion is in on same-sex marriage from the Supreme Court. It is now legal in this country for same-sex couples to be married. It is a constitutional amendment. The 14th Amendment requires a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex.
It is a 5-4 decision. Justice Kennedy has written the opinion. The chief is dissenting, joined by Justices Scalia and Thomas. We're learning more about the opinion as it comes out. It literally was just handed down a minute ago. Doug Wright joins us in studio. And wow, we expected this to come down on Monday, but it is the first of the five that we received this morning.
This is huge. You know, you look at the boxes. Becky and I were just talking about it. There were four boxes. And when what that means in the court is that something big is coming down.
Yeah, that's, I guess.
And wow, this is huge. And there had been speculation that this might be a 6-3 decision that would have involved probably Justice Roberts decreeing that it was something akin to just simple discrimination.
It looks like we have separate dissenters, Doug. We have both Justice Alito writing his own dissenting opinion, Justice Thomas writing his own dissenting opinion. So we have separate dissenting opinions. They're dissenting for different reasons to the majority opinion.
I wonder how that dissent opens. Does it open with, I respectfully, unlike yesterday, where we had Justice Scalia just said, I dissent. That is very unusual.
Peggy Tomsic, live on the KSL Newsline. Attorney in the case that came from Utah. And Peggy, you've just heard the holding in the Obergefell case. What's your initial reaction?
I can't be happier for not only every same-sex couple in America, but everyone in America who believes in equality.
When do you think you might have the opportunity to chat with the clients that you represented, not only here locally, of course, but 10th Circuit and went on?
I haven't obviously done that, but I'm going to call them all right now and put them on a conference call. I am sure they are ecstatic. And you know there's going to be a rally tonight at City Creek.
I see right now in the majority opinion by Justice Kennedy, there's a response to the argument that this should be left to the democratic process. And just reading from the opinion for a moment on page 25, the court writes, "It is no moment whether advocates of same-sex marriage now enjoy or lack momentum in the democratic process. The issue before the court here is the legal question whether the Constitution protects the right of same-sex couples to marry." In other words, whether the political process was going to work this out or not, it's the court's job to figure out if there is a constitutional right to same-sex marriage.
Air Force One is on final approach from the south, landing here, at Hill Air Force
Base.
Guys,
here it is.
Go ahead.
It's coming from the east, and we can see Air Force One, very large, very, it's off in the distance. We are, as you can probably hear it, the jet engine roaring as it's landing here at Hill Air Force Base.
We can hear that engine, Paul. That's astonishing. That is absolutely amazing.
It slows
amazing.
Down. It looks like it is. It's still kind of on the runway.
Mm-hmm. Just so it's down. It's touchdown.
Making its final approach here. So it could take some time before the president actually gets out. We're expecting it to, of course, be steered much, much closer than it is right now. So that could take a few minutes.
Periscope is a service via Twitter. If you follow Paul Nelson on Twitter, you can watch this live.
Passing the tower, it's Air Force One with President aboard, and the dignitary is waiting for him on this side of the building.
That's amazing. This is live at Hill Air Force Base. President Obama just arrived, just walked down the stairs of Air Force One.
When the day begins at Odyssey Elementary, the whole school is moving. Inside some classrooms, an organized dance party. The desks and chairs out of the way, the whole class on their feet.
Go!
And outside, some grades are running races. Then, after 15 minutes of this...
But the great thing is they calm right down and they're ready to learn.
Tim Best, the elementary healthy lifestyle supervisor with the Davis School District, says research shows exercise boosts learning.
In order for learning to occur, you have to have blood in the two hemispheres.
So they built that whole concept into this school. Odyssey principal Vicki Corwin says the school just opened last year with the idea of physical activity and movement.
We have stools, for example, that aren't flat on the bottom, so those kids that need that kind of additional movement, we provide that as an option for them. We have standing tables, tables that they're adjustable height. So some kids want to stand and not sit in their chair all day.
The classrooms open into collaboration areas.
It's hard to instruct a seven-year-old for 60 minutes in a row. For some kids, it's necessary, not naughty, to move.
The program here and at eight other Davis schools builds movement into the lessons.
For example, you say, we're reviewing for a test. If you think it's A, go to this corner. If you think it's B, go to this corner.
Sarah Roundy with the Utah Department of Health praises this school's unique design, but says other schools around the state can also have active classrooms.
There's small, simple things that teachers can do. Get a partner, have a ball, and pass a ball back and forth through their spellings. And come in and hurry and do a quick 5-minute break and then move on.
Corwin says it's working not just to keep kids healthy, but also to boost their academic success.
When you have kids who are more engaged, more learning is happening.
Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Our top story this hour, breaking news on KSL News Radio. Dave Colley joins us live in the KSL 24-Hour News Center. Dave?
Scott, you just heard Charles mention that police activity up in the avenues. What we know right now is that there is a shots fired situation. We've been listening to some very frantic scanner traffic back in the newsroom. We have a reporter headed up there right now to get the full details. A lot of what we've heard is not reportable at this time, but we do know that there is a heavy police presence in the area of 2nd Avenue and I Street. We're just hearing that they're setting up a media staging area, so we're hoping to learn more about what's been going on up there. But it's a good idea to clear the area, avoid that section of the avenues if you're in downtown Salt Lake City right now. Live, Dave Colley, KSL News Radio.
This is a very active scene right this moment. Officers are continuing to look at whatever evidence they can find. The shooting happened in a matter of minutes. Police say a guy was walking door-to-door asking if he could shovel for money. A homeowner says called police and said the man was acting suspiciously.
The officer responded. And right as he arrived, there was an altercation between the two. That was when the officer was attacked by the shovel. He returned fire.
Salt Lake Police Sergeant Robin Hayden says the officer had called in for help, but she couldn't say right now if that was before or after he was attacked.
Within the last hour, Salt Lake City Police have released the body camera video from a deadly officer-involved shooting that happened yesterday in the avenues.
An officer approached James Barker after receiving calls from people around 2nd Avenue and I Street, and here's what happened next.
Come on, sir. What are you doing in the area? There's no snow to be removed right now. I've had a couple people call about you saying we don't have any snow to be removed because there's no snow in the driveway, no snow on the edge. Wonder what you're doing in the area.
There is snow on the edge. Like over here, there's some snow like on the sidewalk edges and things like that. So,
what's your name?
No, I don't. I'm not giving you my name.
Why not?
Because I'm just doing my business.
You got a business license?
Sure I do.
What's it under?
I know, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just doing it.
Okay, well, I've had neighbors call saying they saw you looking in cars yesterday. They said you come up today, and they said they don't have snow removal. They don't need no snow removal. Knocking on houses.
This guy over here. I talked to him over here.
I don't know who it was called. It was an anonymous. They gave your description, though.
I talked to him already. I talked to him. He has some snow over there, and I'm mainly looking for in the future when it snows again.
That's not what he said you told him.
Some people don't like to...
He said you told him you're out looking for snow removal, and he has no snow to be removed.
Well, there's a little bit on the side. So
it's just warm. It's so. All that.
All right. Well, I'll wait for it to snow again. And then I'll be back there.
What's your name?
I'm not going to give you my
name. Why aren't you giving your name? You know you're required by law to give me your name when I'm doing an investigation, or you can be arrested for failure to give
I'm
your information.
No, I'm doing my business.
And you're suspicious in the neighbor. People are calling in on you. I just didn't stop you for no reason. Let me explain something to you.
No, I'm doing my business,
Let me explain something. You need to
I'm
calm
trying to
down.
Make a living!
Okay, you need to calm down and quit yelling at me right now.
Go back to your car!
No,
I'm doing my business!
Bravo 146, send me another unit. You need to calm down right now.
No, you need to calm down. I'm doing my business.
I'm trying to find out what you're doing.
I'm stealing.
I didn't say you were stealing.
You can't get in my face.
You need to stop.
You can't get in my face, man.
Well, the video cuts out as Barker swings at the officer, sending him to the ground. Now, the camera was reportedly damaged. The officer, who ended up with broken bones, shot and killed Barker during the struggle that followed.
At the Utah Salute to Law and Order, a special tribute was made for fallen officers.
A year ago today, I was on a hot date with Corey, and everything was fine. And a year ago tomorrow, he was gone.
Nanette Ride, widow of Utah County Sheriff Sergeant Corey Ride, says her husband was brave, humble, and loved being an officer. Iron County Commissioner Dale Brinkerhoff says there have been a lot of anti-police rallies across the country, and this one was made to show many people support law enforcement.
Officers are sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
The man in charge of the Utah Highway Patrol says he and other departments in the state are on the losing end of the numbers game.
When he first started 20 years ago, UHP had a pool of 2,000 applicants competing for five jobs. Today, there are 23 openings and just 87 applicants. KSL News Radio's Andrew Adams takes a look at the increasingly thin blue line.
The colonel says his new batch of applicants won't come close to filling 23 vacancies.
We lost two last week.
And more troopers are leaving all the time.
10 in the last couple months.
Intense public scrutiny hangs over officers' every action now.
Interest in law enforcement has dramatically declined.
Low wages and more years to retirement are also pushing candidates away.
It's a continual challenge.
We didn't have a large pool of applicants.
In West Valley.
For an applicant, it's a buyer's market.
The department is getting aggressive with incentives. $1,000 to an officer for recommending a candidate who gets hired. $10,000 to new hires for a down payment if they move into the city.
And it's become very competitive.
In Provo.
Right now, it's just a problem. It could be your severe problem in a few years.
And potentially
we're headed towards
a huge crisis in less than a decade.
And if we can't attract quality people, people that are service-minded individuals, we're opening the door for a lot of risk.
On Utah's Capitol Hill, UHP brass swears in a new class of bright-eyed troopers.
It's a big deal, special in words that I can't even describe. I've waited a long time for it.
My family's young, and it's a great opportunity for us to get off to a new start a new chapter in our lives, and I couldn't be happier.
All police agencies hope for more like them.
Good job. Welcome.
Listening to Utah's Morning News with Brian Martin and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News. Time 7:30. We're broadcasting live a special edition of Utah's Morning News, Guns at School. We're live on location at Utah Valley University this morning.
We'll have highs today in the 70s, but warming up to the 80s by the weekend. Right now, downtown, 53 degrees.
Northbound 15 is a parking lot between Bluffdale and Midvale. I'm Heather Kelly.
KSL's top story this hour, balancing your rights against your safety.
Utah is a very, very gun-friendly state.
Nearly every time shots are fired on a school campus, we remember that guns are legal there.
But legal analysts say they doubt that's going to change. Our live team coverage, Guns at School, begins with KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour, live on the scene on Utah's Capitol Hill. Peter?
Amanda, all states have their own gun laws and those that allow gun-free zones, but schools are not included. Defense attorney Greg Skourdis also says people can legally carry on public campuses here or in Utah or anywhere else for that matter.
Except if you can show some reason, some sort of event that that public safety would override the person's right to carry the firearm.
Stadiums and some large public venues can prohibit guns, even though school shootings prompt calls for carry laws to change. Scorta says lawmakers here won't let that happen, especially for those who carry legally. Live, Peter Seymour, KSL News Radio.
Politics on KSL News Radio. Hillary Clinton was on the campaign trail in Iowa making her case for tougher gun laws.
We have to act against those people who should not have guns in the first place.
GOP presidential candidate Ben Carson says he's sticking by a statement that gun control only works for law-abiding citizens.
Carson is now being called insensitive by critics. The GOP candidate also bashing President Obama's plan to visit with victims, saying if he were elected, he'd be too busy to go. Jeb Bush also criticized just days after the Oregon shooting for his comments. And others like Donald Trump saying new gun laws are not the answer. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley sticking with their plan for stricter gun laws.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos in Washington.
Utah's elementary and secondary schools now regularly drill for an active shooter situation or similar threat. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards continues our live team coverage. Guns at school, live on the scene at the Granite School District office. Mary?
Brian, schools have lockouts, soft lockdowns, and hard lockdowns depending on the threat. Granite School District spokesman Ben Horsley says they have protocols for any situation.
Individuals don't have the right to just simply walk down the hall of a school and go wherever they would like. For the integrity and the safety of our students and staff.
Horsley says they drill regularly with soft lockdowns and hard lockdowns. One is where the threat is outside the school. The other is where it is inside. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
The latest trend in active shooter drills at school does not stop with teaching kids to hide or run. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce continues our live team coverage, guns at school. Becky?
Amanda, those first two things, running and hiding, are both very important. In fact, they say that should be your first resort. But a new grant from the Department of Homeland Security is funding for many communities a new program called Run, Hide, Fight.
As a last resort, if your life is at risk, whether you are alone or working together as a group, fight. Act with aggression.
And that advice includes throwing whatever you have at hand, whether that's desk chairs, books, pencils, anything that you can do to disrupt the attack. Live, Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
Our special coverage, Guns at School, does not end with Utah's morning news. Join us today at noon for a special hour of the Browsers, live from Salt Lake Community College. They'll be looking at the role of mental health in active shooter situations. They'll also be talking to moms of troubled kids.
In other news this morning, the president of Turkey has some tough talk for Russian President Vladimir Putin. KSL's top national stories this hour with Simone Seikle live at the KSL National News Desk.
Amanda, it's a warning to Russia to stay out of Turkish airspace while Russia is bombing in Syria.
Recep Tayyip Erdogan says Turkey is losing patience with Russian warplanes flying over the country. The president is warning that an attack on Turkey means an attack on NATO.
ABC's Carmen Gentile in Turkey. There have been two incidents of Russian warplanes crossing the Syrian-Turkish border. A stunning announcement about nuclear smuggling. ABC's Brian Ross has more.
This morning, authorities in the Eastern European country of Moldova say they've broken up a criminal ring with ties to Russia, prepared to sell radioactive material to ISIS, supposedly for a dirty bomb to target America.
The official adds that the ISIS group focuses on much simpler, more easily obtainable weapons. On the continuing refugee problem, the EU says they're on the lookout for human smugglers in international waters of the Mediterranean. This after thousands of lives have been lost to such smugglers. And the Catholic Church has removed a priest in northern Italy that says pedophilia in the church is caused by the children seeking the affection of priests because of a lack of it at home. The Reverend Gio Flam, now removed from all pastoral work and forbidden from preaching. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Simone Seikle, KSL News Radio.
And coming up on KSL News Radio, what are the laws when it comes to guns in schools, and will they change?
And emergency triple team traffic.
I-15 backed up throughout all of Lehigh up to Point of the Mountain from an earlier crash, and then pretty thick backups from Bluffdale to Sandy because of a separate crash. Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time is 7:36.
Guns at School. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Utah law not only allows guns on campuses, there are only a few exceptions where they're not allowed, like at an event in the stadium.
Greg Scordis is a defense attorney and legal analyst for KSL News Radio.
We talk about what we call gun-free zones, and there are certain places where you cannot carry a firearm. Campuses are not included in those unless there's some specific event or activity or something going on. For example, a person would not likely be able to carry a gun into a stadium or an event where there's something going on to that effect. But the state can't regulate a person's right to legally carry a gun as a student or administrator at a public school. Guns are not prohibited except if you can show some reason, some sort of event, that public safety would override the person's right to carry the firearm. Every state has their own rules, and every state has their own guidelines on what can be done. Utah is a very, very gun-friendly state, and so we are much more relaxed in what we allow people to do in terms of carrying firearms. The general rule in Utah is that you can carry a firearm unless you're restricted, unless you're in a gun-free zone, where some states may have rules just the opposite, which is you can only carry a gun if you're sort of authorized to do that. There's always talk every time there's a shooting at some school that we should restrict that. I mean, and that's just not going to happen in Utah, whether you like it or not. We're an open carry state. People who lawfully possess a firearm can possess it pretty much anywhere that they want, so long as it's not what we call a restricted gun-free zone, which some private entities can have.
And certainly our texters are very supportive of that this morning. If you have an opinion you'd like to share with us and you are safely able to do so, text us at 57500. KSL News Time is 7:39. We have emergency triple team traffic with three times more eyes on the road, brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. Andy?
Sadly, it's going to be a long drive into downtown Salt Lake for Utah County drivers. I'll start on the Salt Lake County side, where traffic's backed up from Bluffdale up into South Jordan. Sandy, right, 106, the first batch of stop and go breaks up. Another batch hits you about the 215 interchange and continues into Murray, plus some slowing in South Salt Lake. I'm also seeing Bangor Highway delays pretty thick now through Kearns and West Valley. Eric Butler?
Now, as far as Utah County is concerned, if you're heading up from Springville all the way to the Lehigh Main Street exit, you're in good shape. But right at that point, you're going to start seeing some slowdowns, and then it gets pretty thick as you go between 2100 North and SR92. Get back up to speed briefly at Point of the Mountain. Heather?
Things are still just a little bit slow between Layton Parkway and 200 North in Kaysville. But after that, traffic is eased up considerably, so you'll be at pretty good speeds the rest of the way into downtown Salt Lake. Legacy Parkway seeing some delays, though, between Bountiful and Woods Cross, but no problems on most of the city streets. Odyssey Dance Theater is back. It's Thriller time. Ogden, Park City, Provo, Logan, Richfield, Idaho Falls, Tuacon and St. George, and Kingsbury Hall. Go to odysseydance.com for tickets and all performance details. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
Great looking day today. The scattered showers, the darker clouds out, partly cloudy skies in, and our high temperatures in the low 70s. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
Right now we've got clear skies in downtown Salt Lake City, 53 degrees. Triple team traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines.
We are broadcasting this morning from Utah Valley University with special coverage, Guns at School, and our focus is on how to keep students safe here and at other college campuses and at K-12 schools. We're going to be talking in just a moment about the challenges of protecting a spread-out campus. And a spokesman from Salt Lake Community College will join us in just a moment here on KSL News Radio.
102.7 FM at 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, weather, and BYU Cougar Station. KSL News Time, 7:45. The three things you need to know this hour. First, more communities are taking advantage of a Homeland Security grant program that teaches you to fight back against an active shooter. The Run, Hide, Fight program stresses fighting back is a last resort and only if your life is in danger.
Second, police and the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office are warning parents about someone making the rounds offering kids free candy. So far, no one has been hurt or taken. The only description of the vehicle is that it's a white car.
Third, we've got an emergency traffic situation brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers.
Traffic backed up from Lehigh over Point of the Mountain. There's a stretch where you don't get in the backups, but for the most part, from 2100 North Lehigh to 106 South in Sandy, you'll be in stop-and-go traffic. We're also seeing backups in both directions on I-15 around the South Interchange and at the North Interchange. Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Partly cloudy skies, temperatures in the low 70s. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
53 downtown.
Traffic can be bad enough, and wet weather makes it worse. So get updates on both every 10 minutes on the nines on KSL News Radio. Guns at School in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. We're broadcasting live this morning from Utah Valley University with special coverage, Guns at School.
Joining us live on the KSL Newsline to talk about the challenges of protecting a spread-out campus is spokesman for Salt Lake Community College, Joy Talud. Joy, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Good morning to you. Let's talk specifically about those challenges. How tough is it to protect something like Salt Lake Community College?
Well, with a multi-site urban college, as we are, it presents its challenges, but we definitely engage in careful planning and training to meet those challenges.
Do you have a text and email alert system? Is there a loudspeaker system or video cameras employed? How do you go about that?
We have all three of those, and one of the most sophisticated systems that we use is an emergency alert system that will send a text and email and a voicemail to whatever contact information our users have.
What kind of, training programs have you done in the past as far as trying to get people prepped for something like this to happen?
Well, we definitely go over campus safety during student orientation, new student orientation, as well as new faculty orientation. And all employees are engaged in a progressive program that's mandatory on workplace violence. The relationship that we have with Utah Highway Patrol, is significant. They are our campus police. We don't have a separate team. So we have the full skills, knowledge, strength, and speed of Utah Highway Patrol.
You know, and just briefly, Joy, we can't hide our heads in the sand about this anymore. I mean, this has to be something we talk about openly with students.
Absolutely. In each one of the classrooms, there's instructions for students to sort of access that give very specific instructions on what how to respond given a situation like the ones that we've seen in schools lately. So.
We appreciate so much what you do to protect the students, and we thank you for your time this morning. The spokesman for Salt Lake Community College, Joy Talud, with us on the KSL In-Depth at 15 and 45.
KSL News Time now, 7:49. We've got an emergency traffic situation brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. What's going on, Andy Farnsworth?
Brian, if you're heading north on I-15, a couple of crashes happened earlier that sort of gummed up the works, and now we're trying to recover from it, haven't had much luck. Salt Lake Valley, you're in bumper-to-bumper traffic between Bluffdale and about 123rd South. Then you've got more backups, and this is a little bit out of the ordinary, from 7200 up to 5300 South. Haven't had a crash reported, but there's something causing that delay that's out of the ordinary. Also having some troubles along the west side on Bangor Highway, very slow from South Jordan into West Jordan, and then our usual backups in Kearns and West Valley at 54 and 3500 South in particular. And we've got a crash 33rd South and State Street reported, Eric Butler.
I-15 at full speed in Utah County from Provo up to American Fork, starting in Lehigh at 2100 North. You're going to run into some slowdowns, and that'll exist all the way past SR-92 as you go up towards Point of the Mountain, where you finally get back up to the speed limit again. Redwood Road also slow now as you move from SR-73 up to 2100 North. Heather?
I-15 southbound back to speed through Layton-Kaysville, but now you're slow and go from Main Street in North Salt Lake all the way into downtown. And then KSL traffic trooper Brian, let us know about some slowdowns on the east side belt. This is northbound right around 4500 South. Now it looks like those delays have eased, but as you continue north, you're going to hit stop and go traffic from 33rd South all the way over to Foothill Drive, where it's very congested. Need a furnace expert? Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. For more information, please visit thompsonandsons.com. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL's exclusive 7-day forecast.
Good morning, guys. We've had a cooler and wet weather. Now we start to dry up and warm up. Partly cloudy, low 70s today, 75 and mostly sunny tomorrow. And lots of sunshine near 80 starting Friday and all the way through early next week. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
And right now in downtown Salt Lake City, it is 53 degrees. Triple Team traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 9s.